Guys, it's finally happening. Sports are back. 2020, I knew you had it in you. Sure, games will look different, but one thing remains the same. Hooters for your game day grub. That's right, no waiting in lines for cold hot dogs or warm beer. This season, watch the action from your couch with Hooters nearly world-famous wings or not-so-famous but still delicious salads and sandwiches. And don't forget the fries. Come on, give your crew the food they want. Visit order.hooters.com for pickup or delivery. Hooters, the original wing joint since 1983.
This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. I thank Hooters for their continuing sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. And also, I do want to thank Sean Sullivan, the general manager at Bill Curry Ford on Northdale Mabry in Tampa, for hosting the Fantasy Podcast Draft this year. Hooters chose not to host any of our drafts or any drafts locally. So Sean Sullivan jumped in with a very safe environment after the dealership had closed. For the one podcast league we were able to maintain, and even made it more interesting by throwing in a $1,000 bounty for anyone that won the league because they are playing against him as an owner in the league. So thanks, Hooters. 11 locations in the greater Tampa Bay area to choose from. And thanks to Sean Sullivan, defending his money as a common contestant, as Ben Stein would say, in the Todd Wright Tour Fantasy 2020 league with the support of Bill Curry Ford. My email is toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. I'm happy when I give you a second opinion that helps you. It doesn't always work that way, but that's why I give you a second opinion. I don't choose your starters. I don't tell you who to bench. I don't tell you who to cut. I don't tell you when to make trades. I give you a second opinion as we go along, and we are all just trying to help each other because we're not in leagues against one another here. Kenny in Canada is a very loyal listener to the Fantasy Podcast, and Kenny was torn between Lockett and Claypool last week. And my second opinion sided with Lockett for various reasons, and it worked out for Kenny as he got his win in week 7. I'm happy it worked out, Kenny, so give me a pass if a second opinion going forward doesn't work out. But yeah, I thought the numbers were in your favor for Lockett over Claypool in week 8 for the reasons I gave you. And I'll always give a detailed response. I've always been that person. I, you know, sort of like growing up in school, show your work. I show you my work. That's why I communicate via email, because it's just me talking to you. That's why I choose not to do it on Twitter or in some other open thread forum. It doesn't matter who else knows we're talking. We're simply talking fantasy football. I want to help you and you alone because you took the time to listen to the podcast and write me. So, toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com, toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. Kenny in Canada pick the keyword for this week. So all this week, if you'd like to get a response from me and a second opinion on something, Kenny picked pigskin as the keyword. Pigskin. Use it in the subject line of your email or creatively in a sentence early in your email. That'll tell me you're an active listener of the podcast, and I'll be happy to respond and give you a second opinion. Remember, I answer emails Monday through Saturday. I do not do it on Sunday. A wonderful guy that I play golf with in Las Vegas, who is a Raiders season ticket holder, doesn't mean much this year, as far as going to games, he texted me at 12:59 Eastern Time Sunday asking me a question about 2 1 o'clock games. I had to tell him, you got to give me more time. If you had that question, there was no reason he couldn't have asked that question earlier in the week. That was probably the best example of, I looked at it, I was on the golf course and said, you got to be kidding me. But I like playing golf with Joe out in Las Vegas. But that's just one example. So Monday through Saturday, I'll get back to you. Sunday, no, too much going on. All right, so we're at the midpoint if you play fantasy football properly, you are halfway through your regular season. Most play 13-week regular season. Some play a 14-week regular season with only 2 weeks of the playoffs. If you are playing fantasy football in a season-long league and having your championship determined in week 17, that's simply stupid. And I will reinforce that point more and more as we get closer to the playoffs. That said, I think you're halfway through your league. Let's look at some overall numbers. I'm going to try to factor in the bye weeks here. And remember, I don't play or look at any PPR, point for nothing, numbers. I play a modernized standard scoring system that reflects the game on the field. The more a player does on the field for his actual team, that's what he does for you. Based on those numbers, let's go position by positioning, just talk about the highlights and who's doing the most through half the season. Alvin Kamara, it's amazing that his touch count is 121, with 75 of those on handoffs and 46 of them on catches. It's all added up to, even though he only has, well, he has 7 touchdowns, which I believe is the same as, might even be one more than Adam Thielen, who's coming off his bye week. But the production has been there. Kamara is RB1. His bye week is already in the rearview mirror. So there are running backs who have had a full complement of 7 games and don't have as much production as Alvin Kamara. I see him as RB1, even though he's already had a bye week. That's Sean Payton getting creative with how to use a unique talent like Kamara. And you know what? It's also opened up. I saw plenty of highlights from the most recent game, albeit against Carolina, of Kamara having holes to run through between the tackles. The more Payton has used him out of the backfield, the more it spreads out the defense and allows for success of running between the tackles. So Kamara's been terrific. If you did take him with third, fourth, fifth pick, probably didn't get any lower than that, maybe sixth pick, I'm guessing. If someone took Mahomes early, it's really worked out for you. And I hope it's paid off with a number of wins. All right, so number 2 on the RB chart. Hang on. Number 2 on the RB chart is the guy I drafted in the first round of both my leagues because of the touch count, because of the volume, because of the dominance at the end of last season and how the offense is based around him. That's Derrick Henry. Also, he's had a bye week. Granted, it came earlier due to COVID reasons. But Henry I show as running back 2 with a touch count at 153. Of course, 143 of those coming the traditional sense of Ryan Tannehill simply sticking it in Derrick Henry's gut and letting Henry go from there. 7 touchdowns, just like Kamara. Kamara has a slight edge in total points. James Robinson, RB3. Now, he hits his bye week this week. But the rookie for the Jacksonville Jaguars, occasionally we do find this. We find running backs, I mean, through half the season, at least in the running back category, he's the guy that if you grabbed him early on waivers, it's really paid off. He has been delivering RB1 production for you, and you probably already, you already drafted an RB1, but you picked him up on waivers, just hoping that he'd give you some depth on the bench, and he's been in your lineup now for 4, 5, 6 weeks running. I show him as RB3 with a touch count of 134, with the splits being about 4-1 rushes to receiving, 6 touchdowns, only 1 lost fumble. He's had a 2-point conversion to make up for that. Also of note, Kamara and Henry, no lost fumble, so no negative points there. Dalvin Cook, 4, of course, missed the game due to the groin injury and then came out early from a game, then missed another game. Now we'll have a bye week. So if you're a Cook owner, you got all the production out of him the first 4 weeks, and you've gotten the first 5 weeks. Am I saying this right? Let's see. So bye week 7. Madison plays week 6. Actually, you got most of it the first 4 weeks. Not much the last 3. You're hoping he comes back this week healthy, ready to go after the Madison dud in week 6. But Dalvin Cook is RB4 with a touch count of 104, 3 2-point conversions, just 1 lost fumble, and the splits from rushes to receiving kind of close to Derrick Henry. It's basically 9-1. With Derrick Henry, it's more like 14-1 rush per reception. Kareem Hunt, RB5. So that's worked if you drafted Kareem Hunt to be sort of an RB3 or flex play with the Nick Chubb injury and the Cleveland win against the Dallas Cowboys. Chubb could return in a few weeks, but Cleveland's best mode of transit, especially with the Odell Beckham Jr. injury, is Kareem Hunt. I show him as RB5. With touches of, let's see, 117 touches, and he's gotten in the end zone 7 times. Funny. So let's just take these top, and then, okay, I'll go one more. Actually, I can go a couple more than that. It's interesting. So I show Kareem Hunt as RB5. Todd Gurley is RB6. I know if you're a fantasy owner of Gurley, you love what he did going into the end zone, even though it gave the Lions a chance to come back and win that they did. Aaron Jones, despite sitting out a game, is RB7. But how about this? Of the top 7 running backs I show in my modernized standard scoring, Kamara, Henry, Robinson, Cook, Hunt, Gurley, and Jones. Kamara has 7 touchdowns. Henry has 7 touchdowns. Robinson has 6 touchdowns. Cook has 7 touchdowns. Hunt has 7 touchdowns. Gurley has 7 touchdowns. Aaron Jones, 7 touchdowns. So even though some have had a bye week or missed a game or two due to injury, you're getting an average of a touchdown a week, and that's just the touchdown. But it shows how valuing touches and volume in the right offense pays off. Even Ezekiel Elliott down at RB8 and dropping because he has no offensive line to work behind. Game flow is not benefiting him. Not having Dak there isn't benefiting him. Zeke has 6 touchdowns. He does have the 4 lost fumbles. He's now switched from sleeves to no sleeves. He also dropped the pass that was in his hands in a recent game. But Elliott, 6 touchdowns as RB8. Clyde Edwards-Helaire has been getting more tough yardage recently, although KC had a walk in their game against the Denver Broncos that kept even Patrick Mahomes' numbers down because he didn't have to throw. But I show Clyde Edwards-Helaire as RB9 with a touch count of 137 and 2 touchdowns. And Ronald Jones, even though Leonard Fournette got more of a workload and in the end zone in the Bucs romp in Las Vegas over the Raiders, Ronald Jones went a 3-week stretch there from week 4 to week 6 as the leading rusher in the NFL. Ronald Jones touches 128 touches. Let me just compare that. James Robinson has only touched the ball 6 more times than Ronald Jones. Now, I know you're concerned about Jones because Fournette getting back into the mix here. But Jones has been very successful in his 3rd year. And he's found the end zone 4 times. So those are your top 10 as I see them. And of course, Ronald Jones hasn't had his bye week there. Clyde Edwards-Helaire hasn't had his bye week yet. Ezekiel Elliott hasn't had his bye week yet. Todd Gurley, same thing. Kareem Hunt, same thing. James Robinson has his bye week this week. All right, let's go to the wide receiver position. And let's do the same thing for that position based on my modernized standard scoring. And no PPR point for nothing. You touch the ball, you have to actually do something with it to earn points. You have to move it yardage-wise or get in the end zone. Calvin Ridley, number one. Number one. He's kind of been in that position all year. Ridley has 40 receptions. Interestingly enough, it's not... He has 24 targets he hasn't capitalized on. So the Falcons, that's between 3 and 4 targets a game that don't go his way. I'm not a big fan of targets because targets mean nothing to you. It's a zero. It's an incomplete pass. The only thing more ridiculous than PPR would be PPT, point per target. Don't any of you email me that you play that. If you do, I'm quitting the podcast. That's it. I don't want to know. But Ridley, with the touchdowns, look, he's not leading among wide receivers in touchdowns, but it's been more consistent than it was in previous years. He's gotten in the end zone 6 times, but 40 receptions for 615 yards and a 2-point conversion. He's also had 3 rushes, not much to show for that, but I show him as wide receiver 1. Tyler Lockett, off his huge game on Sunday night against the Arizona Cardinals, with a high Vegas total, that was one of my tiebreakers for Kenny asking me about Lockett and Claypool. Lockett comes in as wide receiver 2. He has slightly more touches than Ridley, although Ridley's 43 touches if you include the 3 rushes. Lockett's 45 touches, all receptions, and he's gotten in the end zone 7 times. Adam Thielen. The yardage is way down on Thielen. As a matter of fact, let me just sort of scroll through here to find the next wide receiver. Okay, so of the top 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, of the top 11 wide receivers in my leagues, Thielen's yardage is the lowest. Yet, he's wide receiver 3 with a touch count of 32. That's still not bad. That's more touches than wide receiver 5 and Tyreek Hill, although Tyreek Hill has 7 rushes. Thielen also, for what it's worth, has 3 rushes, so that's 35 touches. Will Fuller doesn't have as many touches. DJ Moore doesn't have as many touches. And Justin Jefferson on his own team doesn't have as many touches. But Thielen has been a consistent scorer with the 7 touchdowns on those 32 receptions. And a 2-point conversion, so I show him as wide receiver 3. DeAndre Hopkins goes on his bye week this week, and of course I just acquired him. Hopkins, I show as wide receiver 4. He still leads all receivers in receptions with 57 and targets with 73. Slight lead on Amari Cooper, who's 2nd in targets at 72, and I show Stephon Diggs with 70 targets. The rest of the top 10 wide receivers, I show Tyreek Hill as wide receiver 5, DK Metcalf as wide receiver 6. Yes, Seattle has 2 of the top 6. Will Fuller has stayed healthy. And while the Texans don't really have a chance in their division, fired their coach after, 3-4 weeks, Will Fuller, if you took that risk, it has paid off for you. He has 31 touches, actually has 1 rushing attempt that didn't get anything, but he's touched the ball 32 times. He scored 5 times. He's been a consistent performer. The soft tissue injuries have not been a problem other than week 2. Then we're to what? Wide receiver 8, Stephon Diggs. Good move for the Bills. Good team are the Bills. Getting things back together after losing 2 straight to tough teams. Diggs is over 600 yards on 48 touches for just 3 touchdowns. DJ Moore. I acquired him in my fire sale. Some were very down on DJ Moore. Said, well, he's not even the number one wide receiver in Carolina anymore. I started to see it moving in the right direction. I made a move to acquire him cheap. It has worked very well. The touchdowns came last week. The receptions are coming the last few weeks. And he's actually up to wide receiver. Do I have him at wide receiver 9? Now I do. Wide receiver 9. So he's technically even ahead of Robbie Anderson, which even surprises me as I look at this chart. And his bye week isn't until week 13. And then Justin Jefferson comes in at wide receiver 10. Then interestingly, Amari Cooper at wide receiver 11. There's Chase Claypool at wide receiver 12 and Robbie Anderson at wide receiver 13. I did the whole podcast a couple weeks back about the ripple effect with Dak and how it would impact Amari Cooper. It would impact Ezekiel Elliott. It would impact Dalton Schultz. It's really impacted CeeDee Lamb. I own Cooper in a league. I probably should have moved him before now. He's going to get some garbage points. He's still running routes. He's still the best wide receiver. Other teams won't play him as closely down, you know, with Cowboys down 14 or 20. So he's going to get some garbage time. And if that's all it turned into and I can't get proper value for him, I'll continue to trot him out there, wondering who the Cowboy quarterback is week to week, waiting to see if Andy Dalton gets out of protocol. All right, let's do quarterbacks and then call it a podcast as it relates to we'll run down the top 10 quarterbacks. Number one is Kyler Murray. Murray with 13 touchdowns passing. That trails Russell Wilson by 9, but Murray has 7 touchdowns rushing. Murray gets in the end zone more than Arizona's running backs do. And I know Kenyon Drake's going to be out for a couple of weeks after showing some signs of life recently. Murray's rushing numbers, 7 touchdowns, 437 yards rushing. So let's compare him to Lamar Jackson. And I know Jackson owners are disappointed in Lamar Jackson because the passing yards are so off. The touchdowns passing are down. And the Ravens have just been blowing out some teams so big, they don't have to really throw the ball. You just keep the clock moving, end the game, let's go home. It doesn't benefit you. Kyler Murray, 65 rushes. Lamar Jackson, 50 rushes. Kyler Murray, 437 yards rushing. Lamar Jackson, 346 yards rushing. Kyler Murray, 7 touchdowns rushing. Lamar Jackson, 2. Now compare the passing numbers. Kyler Murray, 1,847 yards passing. That doesn't lead quarterbacks. It doesn't. I see a handful of guys over 2,000. But 1,847, 13 TDs, 7 picks. Lamar Jackson, 1,135 yards passing, 10 TDs, 2 picks. So the touchdowns passing isn't that much exaggerated over Lamar Jackson, but the yardages and the rushing creates a big gap. As I show, Murray is QB1, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Lamar Jackson as QB15. People that are ahead of Lamar Jackson: Jared Goff, Gardner Minshew, Joe Burrow, Ryan Tannehill, Carson Wentz. Yeah. Lamar Jackson at this point is borderline QB1. I know you're going to keep putting him out there. I also expect it to click. But the Ravens have not been your friend with much. Well, let me look at Mark Andrews. I think tight end-wise, Mark Andrews has been all right, although my tight ends obviously are evaluated against wide receivers, so it's a little tough for me to pull that up right now. I think of all the Ravens, Mark Andrews has been the most likely one you start each week. Anyway, all right, so QB1, Kyler Murray. QB2, Russell Wilson. 22 touchdowns passing. Has gotten you 236 yards rushing on the ground. Patrick Mahomes, QB3. Very down week for Mahomes. Just didn't need to do much in the blowout against the Broncos. A few more points would have helped me in my foundation league as I lost a close one. But Mahomes, 1 yard less passing than Russell Wilson. 1 yard less. Wilson has had his bye week. Mahomes' bye week is coming up. Mahomes with 16 touchdowns, still only one pick. And Mahomes has 2 touchdowns rushing and a total of 165 yards. Josh Allen, QB4. 204 yards rushing, 3 touchdowns. He's thrown for just over 2,000 yards, 16 TDs, only 4 picks. Deshaun Watson is 5. The ball's in his hand. If you own Deshaun Watson, you have gotten really good production with him. Granted, he was down, 20-0 almost right away to Green Bay, still put together a really good game. Over 2,000 yards passing, 15 touchdowns, 147 yards rushing, 1 rushing touchdown. Tom Brady is QB6. He's got 2 quarterback sneaks for rushes, but nearly 2,000 yards passing and 18 touchdowns. Right behind him, surprisingly, at QB7 is Carson Wentz. 1,760 yards passing, 10 TDs, 10 picks, 185 yards rushing. He has five rushing touchdowns. Yeah, I don't watch the Eagles that closely, and granted, even Eagles fans I know haven't liked watching their team either, but five rushing touchdowns for Carson Wentz. That is second only to Kyler Murray, and that has him up at QB7. Ryan Tannehill is QB8, 15 touchdowns, only two picks. Aaron Rodgers is QB9 after his dud against Tampa Bay, is well in the rearview mirror after that angry game to start against Houston last week. 17 touchdowns, just two picks for Aaron Rodgers. Still no rushing touchdowns. He had that one called back against the Bucs where he took the big hit. Some thought that was a turning point. Dak Prescott, QB10. We don't need to talk about him going forward. Matt Ryan, QB11. Almost 2,200 yards passing, 12 TDs. Doesn't give you anything on the ground. Joe Burrow, three rushing touchdowns and over 2,000 yards passing. I have Tyler Boyd in one league. I have T. Higgins in another league. Both are productive, so it makes sense. Joe Burrow is as well. All right, so there are some numbers for you as we hit the midpoint. Again, I'm happy to answer any of your fantasy questions at ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. Pigskin is the week 8 keyword. Include that in your subject line or in the base of your email. Somehow, you'd be creative with it, but it lets me know you are listening to my podcast. Thank you for listening to this edition of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, and we'll talk to you next time.